This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
From the field to the court, every play that's made. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
We are live. SB Talk Sports Shine with Real Takes Up a Fake Debates. It is Friday, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, SB. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I know all the people watching out the UCS as a Nighthawk. I know it's a lot of light. A lot of news dropped early, so I had to call Sean. I'm like, Sean, we got to record this now. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Live from direct out of New York City, the Big Apple. The New York Giants are releasing quarterback Daniel Jones. It just came out, dropped from Adam Schefter. It says Giants quarterback Daniel Jones benched as the starter as requested his release. The team is granted his release. What are your reaction to the Giants releasing Daniel Jones? Or even now, because I thought he got cut, because the first breaking news said he got cut. Now it's saying that he asked to be released. Yeah. So what's your reaction to us? Him asking to be released and the Giants releasing him?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little surprising that he asked to be released. That's generally not something a quarterback does, particularly, you know, as someone who's, you know, been paid as a franchise quarterback and probably views himself as a franchise quarterback, even if the rest of the public doesn't necessarily do that. Yeah. But the fact that he, you know, asked to be released, I mean, obviously he understood that, you know, his time playing in New York for the Giants was over. It's more than likely that his agents and his representatives have probably talked to him and said, hey, you know, there may be maybe an opportunity for you to jump on with a potential playoff team, you know, as a backup, particularly if, again, a playoff team doesn't have a seasoned backup or a backup with a lot of experience. So I think that could be part of, you know, the rationale. And from the Giants' perspective, again, they were done when they decided to start Tommy DeVito and not even make Daniel Jones the backup. They essentially made him the third stringer. And then if reports are true that he was taking fourth string reps in practice this week, they were working out their practice squad quarterback as the third quarterback, as their emergency quarterback. So there was no intention for Daniel Jones to even dress, let alone play. So if all those things are true, not surprising. Again, I think the big kind of surprises, again, traditionally don't see quarterbacks, again, get franchise quarterbacks, you know, asked to be released like that.
Yeah, no. For me, I was shocked when it was like when I first seen, like it said they cut him. I was like, what was the point of like announcing that you dropped all the way to fourth string then just to cut him? But then when it came out with the statement of saying that he pretty much requested his release, I was just as shocked as you because I feel like I guess maybe he want to get an opportunity to try to play or be a backup. I don't know where that is. We could definitely discuss where you think a good potential place for him to go in a second, but even from his speech that he had, statement, it sounded like he was already saying goodbye. So I mean, it was already planned in planning his own mind that he was going to just ask to be released from the New York Giants. And then, you know, it hasn't been very good for Daniel Jones, obviously, to a point that even the fans was even booing him during the season, walking into the stadium. So, you know, it wasn't really a good situation for him, probably even mentally. But I am very shocked that he did request the release. Like you said, franchise quarterback usually don't do that. I wonder how did it work with the money since he requested release, and did they ask to like him give up money in his contract or certain things? Or I don't think nothing else guaranteed on his contract, so I think it should be good, right?
Yeah, this was the last season of anything guaranteed on his deal, so the cap hit of them releasing him is going to be minimal for next year. They didn't ask him to restructure or anything like that, more than likely, because again, it was minimal. So, yeah.
And then if you're looking for the NFL landscape of a Daniel Jones, because obviously I can't see him coming anywhere and just be a starter. But do you have like maybe a team? I know it's like this is just fresh, it just happened.
Sure. But
do you have like an idea of maybe a team that could be a good place for him to go?
I think for him, SB, one, you want to latch onto a team that's likely going on a playoff run. Mm-hmm. Because we're coming up towards the end of the season. It's probably about, you know, it's roughly, you know, 6 weeks left in the regular season, 6 or 7 weeks left in the regular season. You don't want to just jump on a team just to jump on a team. Yeah. You know, you want to be on a team that probably goes on a playoff run. And again, if they're on a playoff run and something happens, you know, you could you know, potentially put you in a position to play. I think about a team like Arizona, you know, behind Kyler Murray, you know, just again, not obviously not wishing anything bad on Kyler Murray or anything like that, but just somewhere where they don't really have probably the most established backup. You know, and again, thinking about which teams are likely playoff teams, I think, you know, Arizona right now is a playoff team, you know, based on record, current record, but somewhere where, you know, there's, you know, the chance to be, you know, a legit, you know, backup to a quarterback who's going to be playing in the playoffs. Right.
And, hey, look, you know, Noah, set the news, you know, set the news ablaze on fire, because we're going to talk about this team a little bit later, because we can't ever hear that. They find a way to weasel their way in every news. I think you should just for the news sake, just go to the Cowboys just so they can have something to talk about on the mainstream. You know, well, we got to talk about the Cowboys. So just go to the Cowboys. Just go there. Make it even worse.
And I'll tell you this. Another team I would throw out there, just kind of thinking about it, is the Chargers, you know, behind Justin Herbert. You know, it's a team that, you know, probably fits Daniel Jones' skill set in terms of a team that wants to run, you know, you want to run the football. You want to play really ball control. You want a quarterback who can use his athleticism. Daniel Jones obviously is a, you know, really good athlete. You know,
slightly good.
In terms of his leg, using his legs. So some plays like that I think could work for him as well. But I just don't see a lot of, you know, just a lot of teams. First, he has to clear waivers, obviously, because the team's not picking him up off waivers. Not at his salary. So once he clears waivers, then I think it'll make more sense for, you know, him to latch on somewhere. But to me, it would have to be, if I were him, I got to be on a playoff team where I'm backing up, you know, a quarterback. I'm not coming in trying to take reps from the starter or trying to steal the starting job, because it's just kind of too late for that in the season.
Yeah, I would say it's too late in the season for you to come in right off bat and then try to go for a start. You didn't know the playbook fully yet, you know, so he's just getting in there. Sean, we got another team that has been a total disaster in New York. It is crazy. Ain't the Bills like the only team that actually – the Buffalo Bills only team that actually play in New York, right?
Yes.
So the New York – the two teams that's named New York don't even play in New York. No wonder why it's such a disaster. But obviously – let's go to the other side of New York. The New York Jets has been a terrible disaster. GM's gone. Coaches is gone. It was reports that the owner wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers when he was playing bad earlier this season. So I wonder how this is going to go. But former Jets head coach Rex Ryan, Sexy Rex, said he can save the Jets, and nobody is better than me for the job. Do we think Sexy Rex can save the Giants?
No. Or, I mean, the Jets?
I mean, the Jets. Yeah, sorry. Jets, yes.
No. The problem with the Jets is not who they bring in as the head coach or who they bring in as the GM, who they bring in at quarterback. The problem with the Jets is Woody Johnson. Yeah. He is the problem. There was a report came out earlier this week that he wanted Aaron Rodgers benched after week four.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. You just say that.
Right. Now, again, not just even talking about Aaron Rodgers' history, but we're talking about Aaron Rodgers coming off of the worst injury a quarterback or any player can have, a torn Achilles. And you want him benched after week four. Nobody's saving the Jets because Woody Johnson, quiet as kept, is one of the worst owners in the NFL.
Jerry Jones Jr.?
You know, let me say this about Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones is great for the NFL. I think Jerry Jones is bad for the Cowboys.
That's true.
Woody Johnson is neither.
He's bad for both.
He's bad for both. And and if I were a Mets, I said Mets fan, a Jets fan.
They're about the same.
Yeah, the M-E-S-S, mess. I would not. It does not matter who I bring in to be my head coach. What matters is who ultimately is making decisions at the top And if that decision maker is going to bring in the right people to run my football operations top to bottom, from a front office perspective, from a head coaching perspective, that's what matters. Rex Ryan's not saving that. He knows Woody Johnson. Obviously, he worked there for several seasons, so he knows Woody Johnson. But this ain't 2010. You're not saving the Jets. Because, again, the problem is the person at the top has no idea what they're doing, and they are a complete mess. And, you know, there's a reason why in 2000 Bill Belichick quit after having that job one day.
He said he quit after one day. He's like, yeah, I'm good. One day.
And literally quit on a napkin. So Rex Ryan's not saving the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, and then what's gonna be the difference from the last coach they had? Rex Ryan is a defensive minded head coach. So it's gonna be the same thing you just had a second with Robert
Robert Saleh.
Yeah, it's gonna be the same thing.
And if you've seen, you know, video, they had a video not too long after Robert Saleh got fired. Mm-hmm. He seemed at peace.
This
podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
A great situation for me. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody wants to be fired, but sometimes, you know, being put out of your misery is a blessing. You know, and I think the same thing with Joe Douglas, the GM who got fired earlier this week. You know, it's those guys are not unhappy. And, you know, it's just a mess of an organization. But let me ask you something, SB. Mm-hmm. While we talked Giants and now we're talking about the Jets.
Oh, good God.
What's the better situation, the Giants or the Jets?
I mean, you asked me what's the worst, having stomach pain or the flu? That's what you just asked. You having diarrhea or the flu? You asked me which sickness or which illness is worse. They both terrible. Oh man. For what position? Like what position did I'm?
No, I'm just saying that there's a total. I'm just saying there's a total organization.
I guess the Giants. It's the better situation. At least I can't. The owner don't really seem as bad from what I'm like recalling compared to Woody. The GM is terrible, and I blame the GM moves on why the Giants is as bad as they is. Because the Jets are just all around mess. Because they actually got the talent, and they can't get right. So I guess right now, which is sad to say, that the Giants is a better situation, and their team is god awful.
Right, and you would think a situation with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, you know, you would think that would be the better situation, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's not, it starts at the top.
Mm-hmm. And he ain't changing. He ain't changing. Well, get ready for a couple of misery. At least New York got one team that's actually good, that the team that actually play in New York. But, Sean, yesterday we had the Snow Bowl, I should say, the Cleveland Browns versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very close game. George Pickens, you know, NFL young boy, always got to say something. He said pretty much the Steelers lost because of the weather and the refs. NFL young boy, I know you crash out sometimes, Mr. Pickens. Ain't no excuse. Both teams played in that weather. You got to get the job done. You got to tip your hats to the Browns. And then one thing that I said when the Steelers end up beating the Ravens, the hardest person to play is your division rivals. Even if they at the bottom of your division, they see you twice a year. They know you. They know what you run. They know all your personnels. They know when you line up a certain thing. It's always going to be that. It's just always going to be a tough game. And it ain't like I get you to the point of, I feel like ain't no excuse for football anyway, but I get to the point where it's just like they couldn't have won the game. They had the game in hand. The Browns just executed better. That's it. You got to tip your hat to them. It was a good Thursday night game, and you got the dub. But what was your reaction to the snowball?
So I do Pigskin Pick'em every week, SB. So, of course, when Pigskin Pick'em, you have to pick the games by Thursday, and you can go in and change them, you know, before, but once the games play Thursday. So I'm always looking at what the nation is picking. 94% of the nation chose the Steelers to win last night. Mm-hmm. I picked the Browns to win last night. And the reason why I picked the Browns to win last night was, number one, coming off of the Ravens game, I thought the Steelers would be worn down. I thought they'd be tired, because the Ravens-Steelers game is always, it's not even just a physical dog fight. It's a mental dog fight. And playing your division rival, who knows you better than anybody, mm-hmm. on a short week in their stadium, I didn't think mm-hmm. bode well for the Steelers. The other thing that concerned me with the Steelers is I think the Steelers have been, I'm not taking anything away from their record, right? They're 8-3. I'm not taking anything away from them being 8-3. But sometimes your record isn't reflective of whether or not you're dominating.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Steelers, the last two games they won by 1 point in Washington, and they won by 2 points against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Odd numbers to win bad football, by the way.
Yeah. Not exactly dominating football, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the objective is to have the higher score in the game, whether it's 1 point or 100 points. So you can't take anything away from that.
Hey, Sean, I got a question for you. The last two dominant games where they won, confirmed who's the two teams?
Oh shoot! I know they lost to the Colts, and I know they lost to
just recently. It's trust me, the answer is literally ready. Just go off today's episode. The answer is there.
Oh, the Jets and the Giants.
Yes. Oh, but yeah. I looked at this. I was like, that's funny. We were just talking about them. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just, you know, and also, you know, I watched the Browns on Sunday in New Orleans. And I saw enough from that offense where I felt they would, even with the weather, they could move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And in the conditions, they both moved the ball pretty well. Game came down to just some key plays where, again, you mentioned earlier, SB, the Browns made some plays, mm-hmm. and the Steelers were not able to make some plays. And that's what it came down to for me. But let me say this about George Pickens. Mm-hmm. I don't care who your opponent is. When you get beat, when your team gets beat, you tip your hat, you show respect. We'll see them in a couple weeks, because you got to see the team in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they're going to take your quote and put it on the bulletin board that week?
Mm-hmm. He gets nothing. They're going to make sure that he gets nothing. We're going to shut him down and get the W.
And let's be real. George Pickens, you're a good player.
Mm-hmm.
They got an all-pro corner on the other side of that team, Denzel Ward. Mm-hmm. So their record, while their record isn't great, they got some grown men and some dogs on that other side. Miles mm-hmm. Garrett had 4 sacks last night, 3 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Chubb had 2 touchdowns. And Njoku made some good catches. Jerry Jeudy, who, you know, crazy as it seems, is actually having a pretty good season. And really, the last few games that he's been playing with Jameis is having a good season. made some plays. So let's not do that. Like, grow up. Those are grown men on the other side who cash their paycheck just like you do. Mm-hmm. Tip your hat, but don't slight them, because that's the that to me shows George Pickens still got a lot of maturing to do. And again, George Pickens, you're a really good player. You're not Antonio Brown. You haven't earned the right to talk like that. You ain't that.
We get the talent there, though. The talent is there, though.
But talent only takes you so far.
That is true. I cannot deny that.
Right. He was talented at Georgia. Why'd he fall in the draft between the years?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, show some situational awareness, but also understand there's grown men on the other side of that team, on the other side of the ball, too. And that team is going to play with pride, because that's how they get down. This is the NFL, right? You can get beat. When you get beat, tip your hat, say, probably wish we would have played better, but saying, oh, it was the snow's fault and the ref's fault. Well, they played with the same snow and the same refs, too.
Mm-hmm. And what's your excuse?
Yeah, so nobody wants to hear that. So, you know, grow up.
Also, shout out to your boy, Famous Jameis, because one thing I know, when you watch a Browns game, you're going to get some quotables and video moments from Jameis from any interview. You're going to get big touchdown plays. If that ain't must-see TV, I'm sorry, dog. No, I get the Browns might go for a quarterback. Or, you know, I've been hearing they might go for Travis because they might be at the top of the draft. But I got to at least have another year of Jameis at the starting quarterback. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying this. Deshaun Watson, you might have to get cut too. But I enjoy watching Jameis play football from the beginning of the game, before the game starts, to the end of the game, dog. I swear, it's like you always going to get a moment with Jameis Winston.
I'll just tell you this. This is very telling of Jameis. So, you know, Amazon does the pre and post game. So on the post game show, they always have, you know, one of the stars of the game come up and do an interview with the Amazon crew. Richard Sherman, Andrew Whitworth, Tony Gonzalez, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was really cool with Jameis because they were together in Tampa for a couple of years. After they were done interviewing, Jameis had them on the field doing snow angels.
Jameis a national treasure, bro. I'm sorry. Hey, y'all, it's nothing that nobody in this world can do to make me hate Jameis Winston, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love Jameis Winston, bro.
I'll tell you this. From the first time I saw him in high school, he was at a quarterback camp. I think Trent Dilfer's quarterback camp, a QB11 camp or whatever. And he's like 16, you know, 17, and he has this just massive personality. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. Has he matured in terms of like, yeah, he's had to grow and, you know, he's a husband, he's a father now, you know, it's, you know, he's 30 now, but, you know, it's like watching him just mature and grow over the years and come into his own. It's been, you know, obviously some things that I think have led to that. But he is very true to his personality. Mm-hmm. It ain't just when the camera's on. That's who he is.
You can tell. Yeah. You can't fake. You can't fake it for that long. You can't fake that.
Yeah. It's. You know who I've always compared him to, SB? Is Magic Johnson. Personality. People thought when Magic first came in the NBA or first came on the national scene that, oh, he's just putting on for the cameras and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's who he is.
That's Magic. And
it's Magic. It's Jameis. They are really kind of one and the same in that they don't care about, you know, if they are goofy or if they are, you know, it's that is truly who they are. I don't know if they've ever met, but they are really kindred spirits in that way. They're just very true to their personalities.
Shout out Famous Jameis. I look famous. Speaking of another player who's going to be famous and could possibly go to the Browns, Travis Hunter, which we already knew, but he confirmed it Thursday that he will be entering the 2025 NFL draft, and he intends to play both sides at the pro level. So this has been like the talk when it came to Travis Hunter about can he play both sides at the pro level? Because a lot more things come with it playing at the pro level. You know, you got your own coaching schemes, stuff that you got to learn and do at certain positions. My problem is this. I think skill-wise, at this point, after this year, I know everybody tried to make this seem like, yeah, he look more natural at corner, receiver. He's just better than other people on the field. No, I think he genuinely has the skill set in the league show that he can play both sides. Now, my question is this when it comes to play. Will a team actually let him play both sides? Who takes him? And obviously, though, Coach Prime literally said he's going to be involved in a process that like not a bad organization is going to draft him. So my question is, will a team actually allow him to do that? And will Travis Hunter draft stock if a team tell him no, he only playing one side of the ball, so he don't want to go there? So will his draft stock stop from that?
So my belief, SB, is that when he gets to the NFL or when he's going through his interview process with teams, because teams will bring him in as a part of the draft process to their facility. They'll talk to him at the combine if he, you know, goes to the combine. Don't know if it'll work out at the combine, but he'll, you know, be, you know, heavily, you know, evaluated in terms of, you know, what teams, you know, think he wants to do and will do at the next level. I think what he's done this season, what he's done these last couple of years, playing both sides, playing 100 plus snaps in a college game is amazing. But when he got hurt this year, where did he get hurt? Was it on the offensive side or the defensive side?
I think it was on the offense.
I think it was on the offensive side. Yeah. The concern, if you're a team and you draft a guy like Travis Hunter and say, hey, Travis, you know, we want you to play both sides. If you get hurt, if you are a corner, which is a corner, I think he's the best corner in the country, without question, for me.
I like him and the dude from Michigan and the other guy from Kansas, too. I like them, too. They nice. They all three of them is nice.
Yeah. If you're a corner and we build our defensive game plan around you playing corner.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And you get hurt, not playing corner, but on the other side of the ball. From a coaching perspective, we may have to change our entire game plan. So the idea, I think, is it's not that he can't play both sides. I don't think he can play both sides full time. Okay. Even if he has the stamina to do it, it doesn't mean he should do it.
Yeah. So I seen, you've ever seen, like, because, you know, Deion Sonny got their own immediate thing. So it's now was at a point where he already taking care of his body, like how LeBron take care of his body. Because people was worried, like, how is he doing it? Because, like, he don't even practice now. Like, he pretty much goes straight through, like, therapy, do the stuff, the ice stuff. He put all the wraps in there. So he's taking care of his body like he's an NFL vet already. So that's a good sign, one. But, yeah, but go ahead. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, so I think again, that's admirable, right? Mm-hmm. But that's – there's a lot of guys, I think, that do that, that it's just not publicized, that invest in their body. Derrick Henry does that, right? Derrick Henry does it because of the toll physically playing the position, all the carries he's had over his years takes. But he's not doing it because he's trying to play both sides of the ball. He's doing it because that's how you extend your career. For me, with Travis Hunter, it's not that I don't think he couldn't do it. It's I don't think it would be wise because of the NFL schedule, but also just the week schedule of, okay, are you in the receivers room this week? Are you in the corners? Are you in the defensive meetings? Are you in the offensive meetings? You know, it's a lot of bouncing around. I think my belief, SB, is that I would draft him as a corner, and I would say, hey, we're going to find you some snaps on offense. It's not going to be full-time snaps, but we'll find you some snaps on offense to try to use you. We definitely want to use you as a return man, given the kickoff rules and things like that. Probably more as a kick returner, not as a punt returner, but as a kick returner. I want to find unique ways to try to get the ball in his hands, but it's not going to be, you know, 60 snaps on offense and 55 on defense for a full game. That's just not.
You think it's not wise for his health? See, for me, it's like hard because it's like you really got this dude who's right now arguably the best corner in football, and if he's not the best receiver, he's top five. So it's like you got a guy who's elite on both sides. Hard for me not to like engage in that, but then you're gonna have to somewhat kind of play ball with it though, Sean, because like I said, Prime already said that he's gonna be involved in the draft process. So now it's like you don't want to take the chance of getting the guy and he said, hey, you're gonna let him play both sides, then he'd be like, no, then I don't want to go to your team. So now you can't draft him. That's why I asked the point where he slip in the draft. Because if he knows he's a top two pick, arguably could go one, any team would take him. And you might have to grant his wish just so you can get him on your team.
Yeah, and so again, I think there has to be a real conversation, right? And again, when you look at the NFL schedule, and not just the games, I'm talking about during the week, when you're in offensive meetings, defensive meetings, you're in positional meetings, they're doing installs, you know, I just don't see balancing it out and I was trying to find an NFL comparison. The NFL comparison as close as I can get to is like Taysom Hill. So there was a time where Taysom Hill, he's been one day, you know, he's in the quarterback meetings for a little bit. Then he jumps to the running back room. Then he'll jump to the wide receiver room. Then he'll jump to the tight end room. Then he's in the special teams meetings. But he's not doing that full time.
Right.
They were putting in different, you know, gadgets and formations and opportunities to use him, you know, all over the field. But it's not for 100 plus snaps a game. That's why I think it's not apples to apples, but it is not the easiest thing to do. So I'm saying for Travis Hunter, again, this is my belief. I think teams are going to say, we want you to play corner full time. However, we are going to design some things to get you on offense for, you know, some plays per game. And again, it's not going to be the same number of plays every week, because again, the risk is if he plays 60 snaps on offense as opposed to say 15 snaps on offense, the greater chance of him getting hurt
is because of the offense. Yeah, that's somebody going to try to knock his head off.
Right, that's going to be part of the thought process, because again, if you can take him out on offense, how's that going to help your offense when he's not out there on defense at corner? So that's what I mean. It's just – so it's. I don't think it's that he can't play both sides. I don't think he can be both sides full-time, just given all of the factors. And, again, I think teams, when they talk to him, are going to be very honest with him about that. But I just don't see the scenario where it's, oh, hey, you're our starting next receiver – and also, you're our number one corner. Because if you're drafting Travis Hunter in the top three, you're drafting a number one corner. You're drafting a guy you expect to be, to take on the responsibility of being a lockdown corner. It's just a lot, a lot when it comes to the NFL. So that's my only thing.
We got to wait and see. I don't know, but it's hard. It's hard because the kid too talented. It's hard.
Listen, he's a tremendous talent, and that's why I'm saying I think you find ways to use him and to get the ball in his hands. But it doesn't necessarily need to be, oh, you're going to play this number of snaps. Or you're going to play snaps on offense if we're asking you to be also our number one corner. I just think it's going to be, hey, we're going to find ways, unique ways to get the ball in your hands every game. And again, part of the chess match in the NFL is, if I'm going to do that with Travis Hunter, I'm not going to tell a team how many snaps he's going to play a game. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell a team, oh, when he comes in, he's definitely getting it. It may be some deep things. It's going to be, you'll never know. So, because I want to give that defensive coordinator nightmares trying to prepare for how we're going to deploy this guy in a part-time setting. You know,
it's going to be harder, though, because once they see 12 on the field, oh, yeah, Travis in, there's something going on. But like you said, you could use him as more of a decoy. And let's see how that worked with Trav. But also, you know, you can make plays for him. Yeah, he'll make a play happen. But, Sean, it's another thing. It's something else going on in Colorado where we can finally end the talk about Prime leaving. And I got a theory on why I think they keep pushing this Prime leaving. Especially to the Cowboys, because, you know, they ain't got nothing else to talk about in the news, the Cowboys. But five-star quarterback Julian Lewis, the number two overall recruit in the 2025 class, has decommitted from USC and committed to Colorado. He announced on the Pat McAfee show, big moves for prime time, showing his recruiting skills, and we can finally did all this conversation about Prime leaving. He's not going nowhere. I know the news is dry. I know y'all want to talk about the Cowboys, but stop it. It's over with. Prime is there, Colorado, and how they looking now, if they went out, they could be in, you know, in a big, it's a Big 12, not Big 12 championship game. So we're going to see. But what's your reaction to Prime getting Julian Lewis? And then will this end the Prime leaving conversation?
So to answer your first question, SB, obviously, it just proves the power of Deion Sanders when he walks into a living room to talk to a young man about coming to play for him. To flip him from USC,
California,
to Colorado. I think what it is further proof, and it's not a slight to any other program, but these kids go to coaches. They're not going to programs. And with the power of now the option of the transfer portal, all those things, to answer your second question, I don't think this means it's 100% guaranteed that Deion is staying at Colorado.
What you mean?
What I mean is that if another opportunity comes up, and again, it would take a very special opportunity for him to leave. I don't think he's trying to leave. I think Deion is very genuine when he says, I have no intent to leave. The key word there is intent. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of guys love their girl. But if whoever the baddest chick in the game comes at them, they're going to listen.
Yeah, you're listening. I ain't going to say, you should give me a trap with that. You're listening. Okay, you know, maybe for a night. But no, I got to go back home. I got to go work.
Yeah.
Grass ain't always green on the other side, no matter how bad they look. Yeah. That Ferrari look good from a distance until you open that back up and that engine missing on the transmission. So everything ain't always good just because it look good on the outside. As I said, maybe for a night, maybe for a test drive. But now I got to go back. I got to go back to my other car, old reliable. I got to go back home.
Yeah, no, and I say that being facetious, obviously.
No, I know.
Of course, you know, but never mind. I ain't gonna say that. But the point is that, you know, it's. This is a business, and Deion is very clear. He understands that this is a business. If Deion didn't think about the business side of it, he would have stayed at Jackson State.
Yeah.
So there's a business component to this as well. Mm-hmm. Colorado has a really good endowment. There may be another school out there, bigger program, more prestige, bigger endowment that says, hey, Coach, we're willing to bring you in and give you, you know,
four you know, keys.
Whatever you want, right? You know, and again, is we saw it last year with Kalen DeBoer at Washington. Kalen DeBoer was at Washington, had a really good run. Obviously, went to the national championship game, They lost to Michigan, but was the national championship game. Alabama.
You can't turn down Alabama.
Right. You know, so, and again, it's Alabama. So to me, what it would take is an opportunity like that.
Where it's like, I understand why you left. You know what I'm saying?
And nobody's fighting you. You know, and again, and I say this as not just a Florida State fan, but I actually saw Deion play at Florida State when I was young. There's very few Seminoles who understand the not just the prestige, but if he got the opportunity to come back home where the whole primetime thing kind of started, I think he's listening. And it's not saying that Florida State can get Deion. I'm not saying that at all. There's a lot of things that have to happen to do that. First of all, you got to get the guy out of there who's in there right now because he stinks.
And but, the price went up because when Deion tried to go there from Jackson State, they probably could have had something going on. But now that the price doubled now. The price doubled now.
Well, so initially when he talked about it, it was him going straight there. This was before Jackson State. He went to Jackson State. Actually, once he was at Jackson State and was starting to have success, they'd already had Norvell. And so it was a whole different conversation. My point is that there's a lot of things that would have to factor in for it to happen. I'm not saying it's guaranteed. I'm saying this is a business. Mm-hmm. And again, with the transfer portal, if Julian Lewis didn't sign with Colorado to me, commit to Colorado, he committed to Deion.
Prime time.
So that's what you're seeing. That's what's happening. And the power of what Deion has built as a program builder, not just at Jackson State, but now also at Colorado, I think that travels with him. So wherever he goes, it's going to follow.
He going to pack out the stadium. Prayer going to pack that stadium out.
Wherever he goes, and again, this is him understanding the young players today. And to be very clear, Deion has a very old school mentality when it comes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. When he says his meeting starts at 7 and he starts his meeting at 6:55, that's an old school mentality. Mm-hmm. That's telling your players, be in here early.
6:45, you better be in there.
You need to be in here. Don't be walking in at 6:55 because my meeting's probably already started. Mm-hmm. So that's a very old school mentality. But a lot of these young guys get it. They understand it. You know, when he benched his son. Remember, he benched his son.
He in the championship game. He benched Shador in the championship game.
Right. You know, so that's a very old school mentality, but it also says Deion is about the business of we're going to do this right, we're going to have a good time, and we're going to win. And that, to me, travels everywhere. So wherever he goes, I think he's going to be successful. It's just – well, he had the infrastructure in terms of the administration, wherever he goes, supporting him, NFL or college. But I think if he were to leave, it would be college, not NFL.
I think Deion Sanders' skill set and his ability that he's been blessed with to attract people and teach people stuff, I think it's fit better in the college. And because I heard it from the Warren Sapp situation, too. Where he was like, remember, he's called like all these my babies, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to turn them in. But also, he brought a parable to a point of just like Warren Sapp didn't have no purpose ever since after he left the NFL. So, even so, it's like prime effect, even affecting like coaches. I feel like with the NFL, it's not gonna really be like more about that. And then he also, prime already alluded to it before that, like he can't play in the NFL if he see a guy making a buku bucks and he don't care. So he probably end up choking one of his players out in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? So you rather not have that where you could go to college where you got these kids who you're trying to learn to become, man. So now when somebody is making a mistake like that, hey, I could get you on track. Hey, man, you know, this is better. If you want to get to this level, this is what you need to do and be like this. Now, he's like, you can't have that type of conversation with a grown man, dog. You like, you 28, 30 years old, you ain't gonna change your way. So it's like it's gonna be more harder for him. And I feel like Prime benefits more in college. And the thing I wanted to spin it back to what I was saying in the beginning when we started with, I get the media, right? I don't get the media because it's like the Cowboys suck. Find somebody else to talk about. It's other teams to talk about. Stop with all this. Oh, it's because of the clicks and, you know, Cowboys. That's the problem. Y'all, you, this mainstream, that's some stuff like that is what we you expect us to do. Small platforms trying to go, we're going to chase all the clickbaity teams and clickbaity stories. You're a big major market. You don't have to, the Cowboys trash. You don't have to talk about the Cowboys. But let's attach Deion Sanders to this team, knowing that he said multiple times that he don't want to go to the Cowboys. He don't want to go to the league. But obviously, like me, you allude to, obviously, if you get an offer that you can't turn away, anybody will probably leave, but it's not its intent. But I also think it's another secret group of people who trying to push this story too. And I believe it's the college football atmosphere and the coaches and other programs, because now you starting to truly see the power of Prime. Because, you know, at first you was getting it like, oh, he just got Shador and Travis, they was already with him. Now he actually having a good year. He flipping recruits. You flip a guy who said, hey, I want to live in California. I'm going to go to cold Colorado. That's something hit different. That's going to hit different. Now people are scared that Prime can become a powerhouse. Now, to your point that you was alluding to too, Colorado is bigger than Jackson State, but obviously not the biggest program. So if you get people to start coming there, what you going to do when Prime go to Florida State? Now you got a program to match the prestige too. So now you got players who would just want to go to Florida State just because it's Florida State. But now Prime there too? Oh, no, that's a different atmosphere. That hits different. And it'll be – I can see Prime turn into – say if he go to a big school like Florida State, how Nick Saban had Alabama. Now you can't argue where it's like, oh, it is Colorado, it's small, but now I'm in Florida State, where they got the name. Now we're going to see him with how Alabama was. We got 4 or 5 stars as backups, 3, 4, 5 stars as quarterbacks sitting there waiting their turn, because we're going to sit here and be with Prime. And that's going to change the whole atmosphere. And I feel like the other programs in college won't be ready for that. And then also, I'm going to keep it a buck, Sean. This taking over too. Oh, they hate to see that coming. Oh, we cool. We see, I even do it, but oh, Prime. See, because they had to go with the Prime, but when they really see Deion doing this and he's the best at it and he got control of, oh, they don't want to see that. But that's a different conversation. I don't want to go that deep in that conversation. But that player part, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. They don't want to see the Prime is the greatest. No, not Prime. Deion is the greatest college. You don't want him in that conversation, because that's what's going to happen at some point in time if he stayed. Now, I'm not going to lie. So we got to switch to the NBA real quick, because so obviously the 76ers have been trash this year. There's been a lot of things going on. So it was, you know, Joel Embiid has been mainly part of the problem and injuries. It was reported that they had a players only meeting. Tyrese Maxey went at Joel Embiid for always being late at everything. At the end of the day, you the leader. You can't be built. We can't go where we want to go if you're not doing right. So instead of Joel Embiid, probably took accountability, whatever. But we don't know who leaked it. Obviously, it's somebody on the team, or I don't know who leaked the meeting. I don't know if it was just a player only meeting, but obviously, if it was one of your teammates leaked it, because they wanted to be out there to know that you part of the problem and you is part of the problem and they're tired of you. Or if it was an organization, I mean, I can guarantee and tell you this, the organization is probably tired of you because they done processed with you and let you get away with a lot of things, Joel. Your time is running up. And I guarantee you it's certain with certain other organization you go to, they ain't going to let you do what you was getting away with in Philly. But whatever, it got leaked. And Joel Embiid's response to it was, whoever leaked it is a real piece of S-H-I-T. What's your reaction to this?
So, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with Embiid's feelings on whoever leaked it. But that is the age that we are in. Very few things stay in-house, stay locked up, stay between the parties it needs to stay in because of the need for salaciousness in sports talk now more than ever. That said, Joel Embiid, your job at the end of the day is to get on the court and play basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers and lead the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's it.
If you got called out in a meeting about your leadership and about your effort and about your tardiness to team functions and team activities.
Everything. Just everything. He liked everything. And the first person to leave, they say he late and he'd be the first person out the door.
Right. What? Yeah. Well, yeah. What you control is you. Mm-hmm. What you control is you. So worrying about who leaked it and trying to figure out who leaked it and all this other, that is not the problem. Mm-mm. That is not the problem. Them leaking it because they had a meeting, because you all had a meeting, and part of the meeting was about your effort or lack thereof and your leadership lack thereof, that's the greater problem. So don't deflect from what the problem is. The problem is you don't show leadership. You have not shown leadership.
Sure.
The problem is you're not doing your job.
Sure. It gets even worse, right? I've looked at the Bleach Report story because, you know, when we do topic, I always like kind of pull up a story about it. The first thing that the title says, Joel Embiid furious at the locker room leak, star plans to find out who snitched. So you just worried about finding out who snitched. You didn't even say, hey, I'm finna approve. That's bad leadership, dog. Why does that even run your mind? You should just be worried about, like, okay, let me fix the problem. Figure out who really snitched about it, because it's there. But I can tell you, I just had to tell you that. Yeah. That's bad, bro.
And this isn't me slamming Joel Embiid as, because I actually like Joel Embiid. Some of the foul baiting gets a little old, but for the most part, I like Joel Embiid. I will say he did say he is taking accountability, and he's saying, I need to be better. I need to be perfect. I need to be on point, which I'm going to do. Great words. Now, make sure the actions follow that consistently. Okay. That's the key. So, you know, and the Sixers season is getting away from them slowly. Now, I mean, obviously, in the Eastern Conference, you got really kind of three teams, you know, Cleveland, Boston, and maybe Orlando, kind of establishing themselves. Obviously, Knicks Orlando, team. Yeah. Knicks have been on a decent run as well. Mm-hmm. But the season's not gone. We're not even 20 games into the season yet. So the season's far from over. Mm-hmm. So, but you got to get on track. And part of getting on track is doing all of the things that come with the massive extension and the massive contract that you have. Mm-hmm. You set the tone. You set the example. You are the leader, you are the franchise player, and one of the pillars of that franchise, because I believe Tyrese Maxey is a pillar of that franchise now. But you gotta show up, and you gotta, that other stuff, who did what and blah blah blah. What did Joel do? So that's what it comes down to. And what didn't Joel do? That's what it comes down to. Focus on that, and all that other stuff is irrelevant. Come locked in, ready to go in all accounts. And if you do that, I think things will get a little bit better for the Sixers. I don't know if they'll be in contention, but I do believe things will start to get better for the Sixers.
And also, Joel Embiid was quoted saying that, like, he just felt like negativity keeps following him, and he don't know why. He kind of know why, but also Joel Embiid, what to help you out when you got an MVP caliber player on your team, which is you, and you got a young up and coming player, and you just signed a max free agent, so you kind of got like a big three, even though it ain't really a big three. You can't be last in the Eastern Conference with teams like the Wizards, the Raptors, and the Chicago Bulls. That's the problem. You know what heals and get rid of that negativity? Winning. Start winning. You won't hear nothing no more. Because when you was doing all this stuff that you was doing before then, because I guarantee he ain't just up in this year, just start being late. Y'all was winning. Winning heals all wounds. Winning heals all wounds. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Sean, it is that time of the show.
SB and Sean NFL Picks of the Week.
SB and Sean in NFL picks of the week. How many key games we got this week, Sean?
We have three key games this week, SB. Three key games.
And we're 5-5, 5-5-1 right now, right?
5-5-1. So this week we'll likely break that tie depending on, you know, where things go.
Mm-hmm.
But our first game, first matchup is Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears.
I ain't falling for that trap again no more with the Bears. They looked a little better on offense, but they ain't going to look as good against this Minnesota defense. I expect them to put up a fight, though, because it's a division game. It's home in Chicago. But I'm taking the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings as well. I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to take the Vikings by four. My question is, can the Bears force enough turnovers to get the offense some extra possessions? Again, you did mention the offense did look better this past week. Did play a little faster, a little more in rhythm, got the running game going. I think some of that will carry over this week, but I think it's going to come down to Bears' ability to take the football away, getting some extra possessions, and limiting, you know, the potential of that explosive Vikings offense. But that said, Vikings too much. I'll take the Vikings by four. Next game, Detroit Lions at the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, go ahead and get the Lions, man. Like, that man has been on a mission since he did not get hired as a coach to prove everybody wrong. I'm taking the Lions. The Lions are right now probably like the best offensive team in football. It's like not even close. And it's still my favorites to come out the NFC. I'm not going against the Lions at no time soon. I'm sorry.
Can I say, I think Indianapolis obviously getting a, you know, close win last week, last second win last week in New York or in New Jersey against the Jets. The key for me for this game for Indianapolis is control the clock, control the time of possession.
I swear. The Lions putting that in the end zone, bro. You can't get the ball too many times.
Yeah, you have to find a way to control time of possession. The one game the Lions did lose this year, even though they probably should have two losses, but the one game they did lose this year against Tampa, Tampa did a good job, I think, of controlling time of possession, but also they did a good job on Jared Goff, particularly in the red zone. So it's, can you limit the explosive plays from the Lions? And once the Lions get inside the 20, can you, you know, provide some things for Jared Goff that offense may not have seen prior to? That said, I'm taking Detroit. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm going to take Detroit by 7 in Indianapolis.
How this schedule looking, Sean? I don't know if we're going to pick all different games. Maybe not one. I don't know.
We'll see. Next game, New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins is finally starting to get back in the rhythm. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots could sneak this off. But I think this game will be close. Like I said, division games are always closer than what people think. But I'm starting to see the Dolphins finally kind of get their rhythm back offensively. Tua getting back in his rhythm. I'm gonna trust the Dolphins because last time I could have broke the tie by picking them, but I didn't do it. So I'm gonna trust the Dolphins on this one. But I do think this game will be close.
Okay, I'm gonna take only because they're at home. I'm gonna take the Dolphins, but I do think again this is gonna be a close game as well. So I'm gonna take the Dolphins by 3. I do think Patriots have, you know, played pretty well with Drake May. Drake May has shown why they were so high on him. And again, I think the way they handled not throwing Drake May out there, you know, week one, you know, allowing him to sit behind Jacoby Brissett and then eventually come in and take over, I think that was a great way for them to handle him as, you know, rookie quarterback. But I think Dolphins by 3. This game, again, to me, will come down to Patriots defense in the red zone. They do play traditionally pretty well in the red zone. Can they muddy the game up enough to try to steal it? I don't know if they can. I'll take the Dolphins by 3.
Not in Miami. They ain't losing Miami.
Next game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New York Giants. First start for Tommy DeVito.
It is to be the game where you just for the hype show of it, just for the they get to doing this again, they mess around and get a win. But I'm not falling for it. I'm going for the Buccaneers. Buccaneers come in New York, get this job done. The Giants ain't trying to win no more games this year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I
thought you was going to pick the Giants. I'm like, oh, okay.
No. I was born that night, not last night. I'm taking Tampa on the road, coming off a bye week. Looks like they're going to get Mike Evans back this week as well. I think, again, that Giants front seven could, you know, throw some things at Baker to make the game interesting. But I just think they just won't do enough offensively. So I'm going to take Tampa on the road by six.
Okay.
Next game. Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Commanders.
Another team that will never get picked again for the rest of the year for me. That's the Dallas Cowboys. I know they're going to try a little harder this game just because, you know, they want to try to prove a point against the Commanders, but it won't end well for the Cowboys. Washington at home gets the job done easily. Another team who ain't trying to win no more games this year.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Commanders at home as well by 10. I think, again, they've actually played, you know, pretty well. I know Jaden Daniels has kind of come back down to earth a little bit statistically. But I expect Washington to win this game. Dallas, one of the few teams on a short week, obviously playing on Thanksgiving. So I think it's not going to be a good day for Dallas at this point. And, yeah, I'm taking the Commanders by 10. Next game. Kansas City Chiefs at the Carolina Panthers.
I'm taking the Chiefs. We can move on.
Yeah.
We ain't got to argue about that. Ain't nothing to even talk about.
Yeah.
No, and it just came off a loss all day. They're going to make an example out the Panthers. They're going to make an example out these boys.
I think, they're going to get Pacheco back this week, looks like, as well. You know, adding him and, you know, I think they'll kind of go to a two-headed running game with him and Kareem Hunt.
The little Sonic and Knuckles things like the Lions do?
Something like that, yeah. But that said, you know, like you said, that's be coming off a loss, tough loss. In some ways, I think actually a good loss because it kind of recalibrates you because, again, the Chiefs have been kind of, you know, winning by the skin of their teeth in some of these games. When you lose like that, it's like, okay, we got to get back to some fundamentals. We got to get back to some basics. So that said, I think they do beat Carolina. Carolina is coming off their bye week after their big win in Germany a couple weeks ago. But I think the Chiefs will be too much in Carolina. So I'm going to take the Chiefs by 10. Next game, Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans.
I'm taking the Texans. We can move on.
Yeah. Tennessee's offensively, they're just a mess.
Another team that ain't trying to win no more games. It's starting to get around that tank time. You're going to start seeing some dumb play calls, some penalties, and wrong and curious moments of the game. Oh man, you could have sealed the game. Oh, offside. So now you out of field goal range all of a sudden.
This is obviously another easy one. Texans, easy one for me. I think they, are just the better football team top to bottom. Coming off a, you know, pretty dominant win on Monday Night Football in Dallas, Texans know they really, you know, particularly after Pittsburgh losing last night, you know, with the chance that Baltimore could probably win that AFC North. Now it's going to start to be about kind of, okay, seeding, looking at Buffalo, looking at Kansas City. You're going to start see these top tier teams in the AFC or these divisional leaders in the AFC fighting for seeding. I think Texans know it's that time if they're going to go on a run. Now's the time. I'll take the Texans at home by 9. Next game, Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders.
He like me picking the less two evil. Can they both lose? You could pick first on this one. I want to be a tie 0-0 I want both teams to lose.
Yeah, I'm taking Denver. I think Denver's, you know, been really good at being very balanced, both offensively and defensively.
Hey, that boy Bo been actually good. I stopped talking crap about him. I ain't gonna lie, Bo been good.
Listen, I mean, when you look at schematically what Sean Payton is doing to put him in positions, and he's making, you know, the right reads and the right plays. You know, you can't take that away from him. And Denver really does need to win this game right now. They are the seventh seed in the AFC. They need to win this game because, again, there are a couple teams right outside that top seven who are looking to sneak in. So Denver does need to win this game. So I'm going to take Denver in Vegas. I'm going to take the Broncos by 5. The last game before our key games of the week.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the Broncos too.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would.
Yeah.
Last game for our key games, Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles at the LA Rams.
So it looks like it's going to come down to our key games. That's when we see what we pick a different. It's going to be a one game differential. The Chargers better save me this week. The Chargers are going to go. I'm peeping what's coming down to. I'm like, nah, I ain't taking that risk on that. Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles. We can move on.
Taking the Eagles. Mm. Yeah, I'm taking Philadelphia as well. Again, Philly does need to try to, you know, not keep pace, but try to stay in arm's reach of Detroit for that one seed, potentially in the NFC. Not that I obviously they would love to, you know, be the one seed, but if they're the two seed and they got to go to Detroit for the NFC Championship game, they're probably not going to complain too much. But that said, I think Philly keeps going. I expect kind of a low scoring first half, but Philly will start to, I think, pull away in the second half. So I'm going to take Philly and LA by 6.
All right, key matchups of the week. What we got?
So we got 3 key matchups of the week. First key matchup is the game of the day. Game of the day. Rematch of the playoffs, NFC divisional round playoffs last year, San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers.
This game could go either way, even though the 49ers have not been looking the same. But the Packers look good, and they in Lambeau, so I'm only taking the Packers because they at home. I'm taking the Packers.
Yeah, I think San Francisco is just way too beat up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, they've had Christian McCaffrey back the last 2 weeks. I thought Seattle did a really good job last week on Christian McCaffrey in terms of the 49ers would move him around in different formations and split him out. They didn't try to cover him with a linebacker. They actually covered him with a safety. Mm-hmm. And I thought that did a good job of trying to neutralize Christian McCaffrey. This game, to me, comes down to Jordan Love and his ability to distinguish between being aggressive and making bad decisions.
Gonna be Brett Farris.
You can be aggressive, and you don't want. And the thing with Jordan Love is, you don't want him not to be aggressive. But you got to learn when the play is dead. The play is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Flinging it out, you know, or whatever, has not worked well. You know, mm-hmm. So you know. Learn the difference between being aggressive, which you can be and you should be, and making the bad decision. But that said, I'm taking Green Bay Packers at home over the Niners by 4.
Mm-hmm.
Next key game, it's the NFC West matchup. NFC West is going to be very tight, looks like, coming down the stretch. Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm 50-50 on this one because the Cardinals have been looking solid, and the Seahawks, it's just you never know which Seahawks team you're going to get every other week. So I'm definitely 50-50 on this. They is at home. And I know you picking the Ravens on this next one. So I might just pick devil advocate the opposite pick for you just as a safety net. I'm not going to lie to you. If I'm going out, I'm going out to blaze of glory. Who you thinking? Because I'm truly 50-50 on this one.
I am too.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know. The Seahawks at home do look good, but there's been times they got fooled me once. And then Kyler have been beating the accusation this year. I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't heard not one Call of Duty joke since Call of Duty dropped. Not gonna lie. So who you thinking? I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm just because since I'm 50-50, I'm just gonna pick the opposite. So at least we got two games on it. Because I got the Chargers winning.
I'm gonna give you the first pick on this one. I'm gonna give you the first pick on this one.
I'm trying to think. The Seahawks is at home. I might take the Cardinals.
Just for kicks and giggles, I'll take Seattle.
All right.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks. Seahawks at home by two.
Now, if the Chargers will go dismantle this Ravens team, and then the Cardinals go wet the bed in Seattle, I'm be mad.
Last key matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football, Harbaugh Brothers Bowl.
The Harbaugh
Baltimore Ravens at the LA Chargers.
Oh man, we got the right Harbaugh right now. We even got Tiffy in the chat, and she's probably gonna be saying it in the chat now. Fire Harbaugh. So we got the right Harbaugh brother. We got the pieces. We got the quarterback. Where we gonna play smash mouth defense? And you know what his brother gonna try to run. We gonna stop all that. In LA, we gonna get it done. You know I ain't going against the Chargers. We ain't talking. We gonna shut down. No Derrick Henry. We shutting that down.
So Ravens are actually 3-point favorites going into Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna be a lot of points scored. I can tell you that it's probably gonna be like in the teens and no probably higher than like 24 if that because it's gonna be a low scoring game.
Yeah. Last time Harbaugh brothers faced off was in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Big brother won.
That's cool.
I think Baltimore coming off that Steelers game were upset. Baltimore's got to start playing smarter football. And by smarter football, not just in terms of the play call and particularly offensively, but just the dumb penalties, the stuff that when you get a big play is, you know, coming back because of an eligible man downfield or, you know, some dumb hands to the face penalty, or they got to cut that out. I think that was probably the focus of emphasis this week is stop beating ourselves. I think the Ravens come in fired up and ready to go. I'm going to take the Ravens on the road in L.A. I'm gonna take the Ravens by four.
Okay, episode 20, Sean. Ooh, yeah, I know your answer.
Who's my answer?
Your favorite player, brother. Your favorite player. Play for the Boston Celtics. Part of the Big Three. He's gonna be definitely one of your picks for sure.
No, actually, he wasn't. Not for 20. Not for
20. Oh, number okay. Who you got there?
So I have Barry Sanders. I love Barry Sanders. I always love Barry Sanders. And you know, I got to show my Yankees some love. So Jorge Posada.
Ooh, I like that. See, for me, well, I was going with a couple ways. One of them, I was gonna go just. Brian Dawkinson and Ed Reed, but I also got to show because I just seen him on this list. I'm looking at Manu. I'm gonna show Manu Ginobili some love too, but definitely big Dawkinson though.
I got to show B Dawg some love because B Dawg. Now I went to the same high school, and you know, so Rain's high school, you better know, and so you know, B Dawg. I can't forget B Dawg. So definitely.
B-Dawg for sure. I thought about it because I just seen like a clip like yesterday or like 2 days ago where he was like when he first came back to Philly and I was like, bro, and they were showing like his hell. I was like, bro, people don't understand how much a dog is a boy. B-Dawg is a dog, bro.
Yeah, and what I always tell people, man, is if you the reason why Dawkins is so loved in Philly was it wasn't about having the most talent. Yeah, he was an incredibly talented guy. He left it all on the field. Mm-hmm. That's all they ask you for in Philly. Leave it on the field. Leave it on the floor. He will never pay for another meal in Philadelphia the rest of his life because he left it on the field. And so he was a great player, obviously a Hall of Famer, but he left it on the field. And his passion, his joy was absolutely infectious.
When he said that one clip, he said, I forgot what player was he said he was talking who said this in the clip. He's like, yeah, bro, I want his soul. He said, what? I want his soul. And it came down and wow, actor. He said, oh yeah, I'm trying to be like that. I'm trying to have the same engine like him. I was dying laughing. That clip's still funny to this day. He said he cracked him and said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I mean, he was like, oh yeah, yeah, nah, I'm good on that.
Yeah.
Somebody hit you and say that after, yeah, I'm good. Hey, right, coach, I'm injured. It's good. But thank you guys for watching. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake the Base with SB and Sean. And we will see you guys on Monday. We got out of here. Peace.